You're listening to The Musafirs, a decolonized actual play podcast. With Ajay Pandey as Anika.
Want me to start killing from the front or the back?
Amar Amaraz as Adhuri.
Speaking of stories.
Jabari Weathers as Adila.
I still feel that shock in both of my elbows.
And Leona Maple as Aditi.
He's the best boy.
Hi, I'm Mariam Ahmed, your GM. In our last episode, Adila gets a lucrative job as a traveling food critic. The hitch is that she'll be on the road for weeks traveling the continent. With her companions Anika and Adhuri, these soon-to-be musafirs have one last electrifying night in the city of Koldak. Okay, so let me set the scene a little bit for you when you arrive. It is just before dawn. You see definitely the head caravan merchant. A halfling man is sitting there essentially checking everything. And there are two other caravans, and you hear the sound of children coming from the middle caravan waking up. You think the entire family might have slept in the middle caravan overnight. And in the rear caravan, you see, with Registani clothing, a human woman also sort of checking the ox, checking the cart, doing various last-minute checks before everybody arrives to depart.
I feel like Anika is there, like, way before anyone else, and basically is, like, in the navigator seat, even though, like, no one said she was a navigator. She's gonna become the navigator. And she's in that chair.
So you're basically taking the head caravan's, like, driver's seat, essentially?
Like, sitting next to it, basically.
I think I show up a little bit afterward, and while this setup is happening, I'm, like, starting an entry for myself of just, like, a travelogue. I learned a new recipe today. And that recipe is something that has helped distract me from the bruises of the previous evening. I just continue writing about this with some consternation.
Adhuri shows up pretty much right on time, like a minute early. They are dressed up once again in clothes that fully cover them, but this time a little bit heavier, prepared for travel. A little bit more like weather-worn outfit, one that's clearly used explicitly for the purpose of being on the road. They kind of study the caravans for a few seconds, pick the one that looks like people are about to start getting grumbly and go there to set up a performance.
Doesn't seem like anybody is really grumbling, more like they're getting ready for the journey. Once the remaining caravan folk arrive, you notice the head caravan where a halfling woman arrives and looks at Anika sitting in her spot and just stares at you. Doesn't say anything, just gives you that look of, you're in my spot.
Anika just death stares her and says, I know Bunga better than you, and Bahari for that matter, and Registan for that matter. I know it all, just, I'm your navigator now. Can I roll coercion?
I believe that would be an intimidation roll. Yes, please.
Alright, I do not have intimidation as a skill. I rolled a 7.
Oof.
How loud are you about this?
Yeah, that's my question too.
I think Anika's trying to do like the low growl, just like death stare thing, but I don't think that works.
Shorter than you, she stares you right down. And even though she is at least 3 feet, no nonsense. The last time you were looked down this much was by your mother.
Yikes. So Adhuri has been, like, studying for where they might be able to set up for this first leg of the trip. And I imagine they probably noticed this. So Adhuri is going to slide over and go up to the scene and, hey, what seems to be the matter here?
The halfling woman turns and says, apparently my husband hired a navigator without telling me, but I get the sense that someone is just sitting where they shouldn't be.
Oh.
And looks right at Anika as she says that.
And then Adhuri turns around, looks where she points at her husband, and looks back and goes, oh, I was here, husband. Well, tell you what, since someone else seems to have taken up the mantle of navigator, your husband had promised me a story, but I have a feeling that any story you tell would be a lot more interesting and worthy of my repertoire.
She looks at you. I would say give me a persuasion check.
Yep.
I've at this point found some cozy place at the back of the caravan, and I'm starting, like, hearing this exchange, possibly I'm just writing, like, already my companions are at odds with the rest of the caravan.
14.
Flattery will get you everywhere with me. Well, I suppose we're not ready to go yet. She can have her spot for now. And then when she says for now, she's looking at you with that mother death stare as she sort of goes away with you, Adhuri, for a moment. Aditi, at what point do you arrive at the caravan?
Yeah, I think about now is kind of about the moment she would kind of show up. You know, probably running a couple minutes behind. She's not entirely organized. It's her first trip. In the distance, you see a black panther approaching. And as the panther gets closer, on top of the back of this medium-sized black panther, you see a young tiefling woman of about average height. And you see that she's wearing these cotton clothing. All of her outfits are very clean and simple. It's like she's an adventurer that, you know, had some extra money and decided to, like, kit herself up in, like, simple but very, like, tidy clothing. Like, she looks sharp. She doesn't look like she's been on a long trip previously. And so she's got these dhoti pants that are made with cotton, a cotton-looking sort of material, a longer blouse, almost like a kurta top, also made of cotton, and then a slightly more translucent dupatta that wraps around her shoulders and over her head. This girl is dark-skinned. Most of her hair is kind of tucked behind her at the moment because of the dupatta. But as she approaches the caravan, the top of her dupatta falls back, and you can see two horns sprouting out from about the top of her forehead and kind of curving backwards. And that is Aditi riding on the back of her panther that she lovingly calls Bailu. And she approaches the middle of the caravan because those are the people that she had been in contact with previously, and, you know, just goes over there to say hi and to kind of check in with them and to, you know, figure out where she needs to be in this caravan.
How common are tieflings here?
Not very common, but in Koldak you have met a few because Koldak is a big city, but it's like if you've met about 300-400 people, maybe a handful of them were tiefling.
Gotcha. My eyebrows definitely raise.
How much does Aditi give off, like, rookie vibes?
She gives off confidence vibes, like, definitely a little bit of a rookie vibe because this is her first trip, so she's maybe looking around a little curiously, a little nervously, like she's not sure where she lands in this caravan. But more than anything else, she doesn't really care. Not in the sense that she doesn't care, but in the sense that she's, like, confident. So even if eyebrows were to go up, she wouldn't even, like, be fazed by that. She would just keep on doing her own thing.
Anika kind of just looks, kind of, like, eyes are up and down from a distance and just kind of nods quietly, like, all right.
So, Aditi, you know all three of the caravans that are going. You've traveled with them once before, and when you heard that they were making a trip again, you figured you've spent enough time in this town and agreed to join them. As soon as you approach the middle caravan, you hear two excited squeals, girly squeals, and you see these little girls just come out and immediately sort of start stroking and petting Bailu and being and sort of cooing. It's like, Bailu!
And Aditi will absolutely laugh, and she'll just be like, yes, and she'll be like, oh, Bailu is so happy to see you too. Hello, children, how are you? And she'll just kind of begin this, like, happy little conversation, and she'll pinch their cheeks and she'll give them all hugs and stuff.
Precious.
And while that is going on, Adhuri, You spend some time with the halfling woman. What do you ask?
So once, like, wherever we set up, I basically just ask her to tell me the most interesting stories she's willing to share from her life or that have been told to her.
From conversation you pick up, the halfling woman is named Koraguli. She talks about times where on the road she discovered different sort of herbs while traveling through the country, and how she sometimes, if anything happens to the ox, she will become the ox to let their ox have a rest for a short time. And you get the sense from the conversations that she might be someone of a druidic nature, and that she knows how to take on beast shapes and lives off the land and knows about the land. And that's probably why she is a good partner with Fakir Chand.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was 100% right. These stories are much more interesting than anything else I could have imagined. Thank you.
She sort of waves you off like, you're just saying that. Oh, you. And she seems a lot more mollified than when she had gone to her boast earlier. Adila, you know, for passengers, the spots you can have is either at the back of the caravan in front, which is where the Banga halflings are, or in the back where the Registani merchants are. You know that there are two human women who are in the rear caravan. They both are Registani. And the way they talk about themselves, you think they're also Bhavra, very similar to your companion, Adhuri.
I think we're going to hang out with the merchants. Like, that seems geographically where Adhila gravitated to. But between the very resplendent new arrival and kind of the commotion at the head of the caravan, I think that Adhila is going to actually go and say hello to this stranger before settling in with the merchants and, like, getting to know them as much. So she kind of, like, leaves her pack with the merchants and says, "I'll be right back." Walks up to the panther and, like, just timidly, like, so this half-orc, or at least this woman with a half-orcish complexion, walks up to you and your companion and just offers her hand to the panther rather casually.
The panther sort of starts noticing this person walking up before Aditi even does, and, you know, very slowly and curiously walks over and kind of sniffs, and then, you know, deciding that whoever this person is pretty all right, starts to kind of bump their head into your hand for some pets. And that's when Aditi notices, and she turns and she goes, "Aw, Bailu, look at you making friends."
I start complying with the pets.
And she goes, she'll say to you, she'll go, "I see you're already making friends with Bailu."
"They're very sweet."
"He's a real sweetie for sure. I love him."
"Where are you from? You seem put together." It's said with an air of, like, are you ready for this journey?
She'll just smile and she'll say, "I am from Munga. And this is my first trip, but I have been a ranger for many years now. And so I am looking forward to what this journey holds." "I'm sorry, I didn't get your name."
"Adhila, yours?"
"Adhila, it's lovely to meet you. My name is Aditi."
"Pleasure to meet you too, Aditi."
And she'll offer her hand to shake.
Adhila does. As she's shaking Aditi's hand, she asks, "What business do you have? What are you going on the road for?"
"I'm an adventurer. I'm here to explore the rest of the kingdom. I have no home anymore, and so I wish to see what else the world has for me."
"No home?"
"Indeed."
"What happened?"
"My father is a merchant here in Bunga, and he threw me out because I told him I wanted to go on an adventure and be an adventurer and things like that, and he didn't appreciate that.
This seems like a really inopportune time for Annika to show up, so I feel like she shows up now. She just kind of rolls up behind Adila, kind of gives her a clap on the shoulder that in practice feels more like she's just smacking her upside the back of her head. And she says, good fight last night. I enjoyed myself.
So basically, what you don't see, there is a flicker of concern as Adhila's face like kind of scrunches up at this like this quiet family tragedy before it's interrupted by this head smacking. Adhila lurches forward a little bit awkwardly and like whirls around to kind of just stare down Annika.
It's important to note here that Adhila is totally unfazed by this interruption and also doesn't look terribly sad about the fact that she was thrown out of her house. So take that for what you will.
Adhila definitely received that more tragically than I think it's actually being carried.
Fair.
But is distracted by this unusual contact. Good morning to you too. I'm still sore.
In that case, I need to teach you how to handle yourself without a weapon.
Oh, you mean fight dirty?
Yes, of course. That's the way you fight.
I still feel that shock in both of my elbows.
Feels good, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
Annika ignores that and just kind of looks out of the up and down and says, what brings you here?
This is my companion, Annika. Annika Aditi. Aditi, Annika.
Annika, it is lovely to meet you. I am here to travel to see the rest of the world. Oh, and this is my pet panther, Bailu.
The rest of the world's shit.
Well, it's a shame you think that. I think there's lots to see.
I agree.
It's not all of it. It's not worth it.
That's really sad.
It sounds like you've seen much of it. Tell me about it.
She'd probably say the world's a fight.
You see a flash of sorrow for just a moment.
Is this very perceptible for all of us?
Only for Adavi, I think.
Could roll an insight check.
Yeah, I stick to that. That would be a 22.
Yeah, you noticed that.
So I feel like Adhila and Adavi both see this just this moment of sorrow, regret, horror. One of those, all of those, something like that. For just a moment before she snaps back and says, let's just say, a lot. Nice panther.
Yes, this is Bailu. And she'll turn to the panther and she'll say, Bailu, say hi. And Bailu will kind of very quietly kind of purr. And she'll also add, as she's watching Bailu do this, she'll say, well, it sounds like perhaps there's stories to be told over a drink sometime.
No.
That's your choice, then.
Speaking of stories, I think right about now there's just a steadily increasing in volume tune that can be heard almost approaching the scene. And it's clearly a tune not from Bonga. It's a tune that's traveled around, and it's increasing in volume.
Would it be closer to where you're from, like a Bavra tune?
I think it's more of a cross, like, regional tune, sort of combining beats from the road.
You actually see that the caravan in the rear, sort of they're both the women sort of perk up when they hear it and they smile in recognition of some of the elements of it and they nod to you, Adhuri.
And the sitari itself is an instrument that is very recognizable to, like, my home. So
yeah, and once they see you, see your clothing, see the instrument, they just smile in recognition. It's very welcoming and open, and they don't say anything to you as they don't want to interrupt you, but you get the sense that if you wanted to go up to them, they would very much be willing to talk to you.
I definitely do not. I think when I do notice them, I do my best to avoid eye contact, but I will continue approaching the scene in the background.
So, not known you to be one that's shy, Annika. Sounds like a story to tell over drinks, I agree.
I disagree. And she walks away immediately.
Does she, when turning around, like, bump into Adhuri, maybe?
I think it's like closer to a body check.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining.
Give me a concentration check, Adhuri, to hang on to your song.
I rolled a 20 on the dice, which is a 22.
Yeah, even though you got body checked with Annika and her armor and everything, you still managed to somehow keep your tune going.
I imagine I'm used to playing in like crowded places where people are moving through and the crowd can occasionally bump into me. For those who are watching, for like a flicker of a second, my tail comes out from under my hood and supports like the instrument. And then once I have my footing again, it disappears. It's there for only a small bit of time, but if you're watching this happen, you would see it.
That's fantastic.
I think that you'd be very impressed by this.
I'm a little more focused on Annika, so I actually, like, that goes unnoticed. Adhila kind of just looks over at Adhuri and also at Annika, like, piecing out really quickly and just being like, don't mind her, she's just old. Anyway, this is Adhuri. And they provide fantastic tales and other tunes. They're my other traveling companion.
Pleasure to meet you. And I think you would probably notice, Adhila, that today Adhuri's voice is a lot higher pitched and a different intonation than the low pitch, like steady tone they were going with yesterday.
Have I heard this pitch change frequently in our past encounters?
I think it's probably happened before, but I don't know if a rhyme or reason has been established for it, at least that Adhuri has disclosed.
Adhila, like, visibly, like, readjusts and is just like, morning. Yeah, so you're all right. That was a bit of a rough bump.
There's been worse. Introduce me to your friend.
Right, this is Aditi, and your panther's name, I'm sorry. I'm bad with names.
That's okay. His name is Bailu. And she'll turn to Adhuri and she'll say, it's so lovely to meet you. You are so incredibly talented.
Oh, well, that's very sweet of you. Do you mind if I... And Adhuri points to Bailu.
Yes, absolutely. Come here, Bailu. And Bailu will do the same thing where Bailu will approach you and like rub up against you for pets and stuff. He's a very friendly panther.
I can see that. I think what Adhuri is gonna do after getting like settled in is they're gonna sneakily flicker their tail under and pet Bailu with their tail and start playing a tune for Bailu.
Oh, that's so cute! Bailu was lost as a cub and was far away from his mother, so Aditi is kind of the only person that Bailu was close to. So meeting another cat friend is like the biggest deal for Bailu. So I think these two are gonna get along famously, and Bailu is probably gonna like, if Bailu is not with Aditi, he's gonna be with Adhuri, and I think that's just gonna be how it is, where Bailu is gonna be like bouncing back and forth between the two of them.
I'm going to go up to Fakir Chand. Even though I don't know his name, I recognize him from bringing the caravan food. I'm just going to ask, so when are we heading out?
At this point, you notice the halfling woman who had a death stare match with Annika has now returned to her spot before Annika could go back and sit on it again. And you notice now that she's getting the ropes and loading the ox up. Instead of Fakirchan answering, Koraguli answers and says, oh, in 5 minutes, once everybody has loaded up and is in their correct spot. And she says spot, looking right at Annika.
Want me to start killing from the front or the back?
There's nothing to kill.
Just in case there is something.
And at this point, Fakirchan says, okay, I believe Aditi and Adhila, you are our guests. You can either join my cart or you can join Lalchand and Mirchand's cart, and points towards where the Registani merchants are in the back.
I'll stay with the merchants.
I think they will go near the front, just to check it out.
As you like get up to leave, Adhuri will turn to Aditi and say, you have a lovely companion with you.
Thank you. He seems to be very fond of you too.
Well, I'm sure that the story of you two meeting must be quite fascinating if you'd be willing to share at some point.
I would absolutely love to. And in fact, Bailu, you can stay with your new friend for a little bit if you want, and you can see Bailu kind of go, like this very happy sort of noise. And so And so, you know, Bailu is very happy, and she knows that Bailu will kind of, you know, wander around, probably back and forth around the caravan and hop up whenever needed. They have a really good bond, and she trusts him very much, so Bailu can kind of do as he pleases so long as there's no danger.
Oh.
What a good boy.
He's the best boy.
Annika's going to look for the point in which she can get the best vantage point that is not the same cart as a Gorguli.
You would have to either walk alongside them or maybe ride the oxen that is pulling the front caravan.
Annika will walk.
And Aduri, where are you hanging out? The middle caravan is full with the children and basically a lot of the cargo. Same thing with the rear caravan, but there is space for two people to sit.
I will head to the middle caravan to keep the children from getting uppity while we're on the road.
And the parents smile. It is a female half-elf and a human man. And you notice both the children look half-elven. They have small little pointy ears. They look to be about, I would say, the equivalent of human age, like 5 and 3.
Yeah, Aturi will smile and get set up to just provide music and stories that will keep the kids occupied when they need it.
One of them at some point grabs your tail and is like, "Ooh, kitty!"
I'm so glad I'm not in that cart.
Oh my god.
Just like Bailu! Kitty!
I think Aduri has like an immediate wince reaction when it happens, but when then it's like, "Just like Bailu, kitty," and they put on a smile to kind of keep pleasant demeanor with the kids and slowly like pull their tail away.
Bailu will definitely try to get in between and try to be like Bailu can sense that, you know, his friend is not into this. So Bailu will kind of get in the middle so that they can play with Bailu's ear and Bailu's tail. But, you know, Bailu is really protective of his new friend and doesn't want them feeling hassled. So
I kind of imagine it's like if you've ever seen videos of kids with very patient cats who are like, they're kind of being smushed, but they're still very patient and not biting the kid's head off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But it's large.
But also like 5 feet long.
Occasionally you see both either the human man or the half-elf woman sort of admonish, like, "Stop it, that's rude, you know, that's no way to treat your friends." And they just stop for like 10, 15 minutes, and then sometimes they get bored and they're like, they start riding Bailu. They're making like horse sounds, like, you know, giddy up.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's bad.
Bailu is so offended. You can just see, like, the stink face on Bailu of, like, "This is insulting, but I am protecting my friend, so therefore I will take it."
Is there, like, a threatening pantherion? "Oh, I'm gonna show off my teeth, but I'm actually tired, but I'm actually telling you to stop this."
So the three-year-old sticks her head in it.
Bailu will yelp, and Aditi will actually, from the front of the caravan, hear it, turn around and, like, try to look over and make sure that Bailu is okay, because, like, that's, yeah, she gets worried.
Aturi tries to, like, attract the kids' attention with a fantastical story, and, like, just one of the wildest fairy tales that they've heard, just to keep the kids away from Bailu for a little bit.
Is the caravan moving yet?
The caravan, after like maybe 15, 20 minutes of making sure everyone's here that is traveling with them. And yeah, they're starting to now exit from where they're sitting and they're starting to follow each other. And you all are taking your places with the caravan.
So my question is, from where Aditi is sitting, if she were to stand, would she be able to see Bailu and Aduri?
You don't get a good view because you're even when you're sitting in the back, the drivers block seeing into the cart. But you, because you have a bond with Bailu, you can sense when he's in distress.
Okay, that's fine. She'll be like, "All right, it's fine. It's just children. Like, he can handle that. He handled me when I was a kid," and she'll just kind of shrug it off and carry on focusing.
not extreme distress, like you are concerned that there's harm, but just sort of a stress. You get these very, I regret this decision immediately.
Oh dear.
But with the combination of Pailu and Aturi sort of tag teaming, keeping the children entertained, you manage to not want to murder them.
Okay.
The children remaining unmurdered. So good.
The important parts of a caravan, don't murder your children. Okay, that's fine. She'll let it ride for a little bit, but if, you know, if Bailu starts to get more agitated, then she'll take action.
Yeah, like there's at any point during the journey, before you all rest for the evening, there are places where you will take short breaks. And to a certain extent, people do switch around occasionally just for the sake of not doing the same repetitive thing. So yeah, you all have finally taken off. And as you leave Koldak, a home for some of you and a place to stay for others, slowly the buildings start to recede in the background and the signs of civilization seem to fall away as you start getting into farmlands. And the road you're on right now is still very much like flat and open, running basically through smaller towns and large paddy fields of various rices as well as different other grains.
I'm going to start speaking with these two merchants. Turn to Lal Chand and I'm just like, so what do you sell or buy?
She smiles and she says, mostly millet. Sometimes rice, other grains. We find various things in Mahajan and the places that we've traveled through the different ports. We deal a little bit of everything.
Is it lucrative or sustainable?
We'll always need to eat.
It's true. I really like to cook. I don't know if you got to try it last night, but I had an instrumental hand in the biryani last night.
Oh, yeah. Fakir-chan shared some with everyone. It was really delicious. Thank you.
Thank you.
Perhaps you can make some on the road, eh, now that you know the secret? And she elbows you, like, sort of teasingly.
Right. I'd actually love to, but I don't have the materials. She starts going into this kind of like earnestly, and like it's slowly apparent that like Adhila kind of misses that might have been a joke, partially because the prospect of cooking more is genuinely exciting to her.
And Mir-chan sort of says, don't tease the poor girl. How is she gonna make biryani in the middle of the road? It's not like we have goats lying around.
I'm sure we could find some.
You hear from the distance, that can be addressed.
I lean in to the two merchants and just like, she's so bloodthirsty. She's looking for a fight, and I'm actually really concerned about the caravan.
Well, I mean, hopefully, as far as I know, she's been hired to be our protectors. We should be fine, right?
Correct.
I kind of climb a little bit out the back and like precariously, like as we're moving along, like crane around the left side of the cart that I'm in. I just give Annika a look. That's like, what are you looking for now? We fought last night. Are you not entertained?
You see Annika, she's playing darts, but with her sword aiming at random trees.
As you walk by.
As they walk by, you know, they're trees, you know, in the middle of nowhere, why not? So she's chucking her sword at random trees, getting bullseye relatively often, and then just recalling it in a proof of smoke back into her hand.
And it's this point that Goraguli says, you know, that's not a good idea. What if you anger a yaksha?
Been there, done that.
I pull myself back into the cart. She's attacking the trees. I don't want to think about her as much, but you too. I hope that your travels are lucrative and fruitful and sustainable.
This is, well, our 7th season of doing it, and we are doing well. Maybe we'll earn enough to perhaps have our little one soon, and smiles at Mirchan, then Mirchan smiles and sort of looks at the little kids playing with Bailu and Adhuri in the back, because they have a good view of the back of the middle cart.
Adhila giggles kind of warmly. She tugs her Sursingar into her lap and like starts plucking at it, producing like these deep resident tones nonchalantly.
They are sort of bobbing their heads as they're traveling alongside with the tune.
Aditi took her place near the front because Aditi, kind of like Anika, wants to, you know, keep an eye out for danger. So she's kind of just, you know, watching and observing the landscape, and she's, you know, maybe chatting a little bit with her driver, you know, asking him questions about, you know, where they're headed next and, you know, what the land is like there and so on. And when she gets bored, she's kind of doing a little bit of like a wood carving sort of thing, like a really just like a random wood carving, and she's not quite sure what she's making just yet, but it's just something to pass the time.
Gurguly, between answering your questions and giving dagger stares at Anika, and continuously saying, you really don't want to piss off the yakshas, they may just fight back. You all know yakshas are basically nature spirits of some kind, sort of like dryads, naiads.
I imagine it's a little bit hard to hear her voicing this concern unless she's like yelling it.
Oh, she's yelling it very much so.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Adhila's reaction, she's just like, exactly what I was afraid of. Anika, please stop.
Now that two people are telling her to stop, she's gonna stop. But she says, you know how many yakshas I've already killed?
Honestly, I don't care. It's not just you. Also, why are you going around fighting nature spirits?
She just kind of looks at Adhila and says, I've been a soldier for 3 decades now. What do you think? And just kind of like puts her sword away and just keeps walking.
Would Aditi have come across any of these nature spirits? Maybe in her time in the jungle when she was playing with Bailu as she was growing up?
Yeah, maybe you haven't actually interacted with them, but you have felt their presence, and maybe they even led you to Bailu.
That makes sense. I like that.
I've definitely heard stories of them, but I don't think I've ever had the luck to talk to one, though I wish I could.
Yeah, I've been insulated. Definitely, Adhila is kind of afraid of them. City kid.
Anika really has killed a bunch.
I just want to hear the stories of their life.
And Anika, what are you doing aside from attacking potential yakshas?
So upsetting.
I think she's, one, she's watching the road, and two, she's thinking about the last time there was a drought in Bahari or Registan, and whether there's one right now. She's kind of running the mental calculus in her head about like...
Give me a perception or nature check, whichever is better for you.
Perception is better for me. 15.
Right now, you are traveling in the month of Safar, which is essentially when merchants are the most active. It's sort of the pre-winter over here. This world has 6 seasons, and this is the after the harvest, but before winter actually begins, where everybody is now traveling with their goods to make their fortunes and profits. It is definitely, the lands are definitely fallow, and certain crops that can grow through some of the milder winters, which would happen here in Banga, as it never gets like freezing cold. It winter is more like maybe 5 or 10 degrees Celsius.
Celsius. That would be a very different situation.
Yes, because Canada, and I go the British system, and so does most of Asia.
I will stick to my backwards American units.
We're American.
America.
Speak for yourself. I'll happily use Celsius.
That's because you make sense.
Did any particular area recently have like a particularly bad harvest?
I will say that would be more like a history check, as that's not necessarily what you would know just from looking at the fields.
Luckily, I'm even better at history checks. I rolled a 23.
There's definitely the ebb and flow. Some seasons are more profitable than other. There's no big drought or very low harvest, but the harvests have been lesser than usual, but not concerningly so.
Okay. Yeah, that's just what Annika's been thinking about as she was kind of eavesdropping on the conversation between.
Which is why trading is even more important.
Yes. See, that's what's just going through her head.
Aditi, you said you were watching the road. Give me a perception check.
21.
As you sort of scan the horizon, it's very open fields. It's very hard for anyone to ambush you, but at the same time, it would be very hard to hide as well. However, you do see in the background as you are moving, there's a very gentle hills, and it reminds you of this one tale you were told in Banga once when Rakshasas ruled the land and were terrorizing everybody. And then this big champion had come and had killed all of them all. And their bodies fell to the ground and formed all these hills. And they're essentially dead or sleeping Rakshasas. And it perhaps maybe sends a chill down your spine. And whether or not those are true or just fables, it still makes you perhaps just a little uneasy.
Definitely.
It's just shuddering. It's an upsetting tale. I think that at the first like rest stop, probably around like lunchtime, Adhila is going to shift around. Like she's going to where Aditi... and see if she can kind of like shrug her way into that cart if there's room, and if not, then like she's gonna go to the front. But either way, she's gonna also try to get like closer to the front in order to keep a closer eye on Annika, who's seeming like peckish.
I can maybe help with this just a little bit. And in that, partway through the journey, Aditi would probably sense that Bailu is getting quite twitchy and needs to kind of go for a stretch. So Aditi would actually hop out of the cart and would actually be riding on Bailu. So she would be sitting on his back and they would kind of be like, you know, running forward and then like chilling out and waiting for the caravan to catch up and stuff like that. So they'll be kind of floating around the caravan so there's more space.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Totally for it while I pluck away at some like hopefully soothing melodies. There's this kind of like resonant tone that starts cutting through the air from the front of the caravan, whether or not our guides mind.
Yeah,
I feel like it's needed.
Give me a performance check to see how pleasant it is.
Yeah, okay, let me roll that up. I'm playing a little stressed. That is a whole 8.
How would you describe...
I was imagining it's, like, I make a bad choice. So, like, there is a decent, like, tuning phase, and then, like, I slide into, like, some discordant melodies and realize, like, almost subconsciously, like, I'm thinking, oh, like, chill everyone out. But I'm looking at Annika being all tense, and in reality, I'm playing, like, this menacing tune. And, like, a little discordant and depressive.
Yeah, Annika just kind of looks at you and just like, I'd play something else.
You hear in the background sniffles as you hear one of the kids being like, Mommy, are the Rakshasas coming to get us?
Oh my god.
Oh no. It's at this point that I stop playing.
I feel like at that, Annika, like, actually steps into, like, the middle caravan and says... Okay. It's okay. The Rakshasas that used to be around here are long gone. And if any of them come back, they're going to have to go through me. And then she just steps out and walks out.
You hear just little sniffles, but they seem to be going away at this point.
I'm kind of just awkwardly cradling my instrument.
Fakirchand and Koragili just give you this slightly awkward, like, I'm sorry, shrug. Sort of like, you know, Keep at it. You'll get there someday.
You tried, Star.
Pretty much. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Pocket Cast, and all your favorite podcast platforms. If you like what you hear, please leave us a rating or review for us. We appreciate all the feedback. Thank you, and alvida.